Welcome to the Crispin Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Crispin. Topics on today's episode include the reward for change, Bonzo's Jason Perkins on CRMs, and some upsides of poor affordability. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Loan Vision. Loan Vision is the mortgage banking industry's premier mortgage accounting solution with over 240 independent mortgage banks and banks. Customers on Loan Vision see a 10% reduction in fallout, 30% reduction in time to close the books, and a 20% reduction in accounting headcount, allowing them to operate their business more efficiently and profitably. Take your accounting department from cost center to revenue generator now with Loan Vision. To learn more, visit loanvision.com today. Many folks who listen to this podcast are working for a living, and many of them are managers. On a recent call, Lower's James Duncan opined on how things change within companies. As he put it, if change is from the top down, it would be termed leadership. If change is prompted from the bottom up, it would be termed empowerment. Either way, change is hard and companies need to ask, what's the reward? James suggested that perhaps the better question is, what is the alternative? Be thankful you're not in the commercial sector. Banks don't want to declare commercial loans as non-performing because it hurts their balance sheets. So, there's been refinancing, restructuring on more favorable terms than some anticipated, and more than underlying economics justify. What some observers sarcastically call extend and pretend. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome to the show Bonzo's Jason Perkins to talk about CRMs. He's president of Bonzo, and a proponent that CRM systems are synchronized with the specific organization. For instance, consumer direct lenders have different CRM needs than retail lenders, brokers have different needs than IMBs, and large firms have different needs than small ones.
My sister actually listens to my podcast a decent bit, and I said, oh, how am I doing? Are the shows getting better? And she goes, well, I don't like the interviews when I don't know what people are talking about. So I'm going to ask us to start small here today, Jason, and I will say, can you explain what a CRM is for those that might not know? Let's start there.
A CRM typically is a piece of technology that allows you to manage your database. So what CRM stands for is customer relationship management. It allows companies, individuals to access a piece of technology that gives them data on the people or prospects in their business. This could be managing your past clients. That could be managing current deals. It allows them to communicate with them and automate certain touch points to those individuals depending on where they are. So for instance, I could put all of my past customers into a drip campaign that's going to feed them content that's relevant to where they are in the cycle.
There's a lot of different categories that CRMs can be built in based on the goals you want the CRM to achieve. Can you explain some of the goals that a CRM can help companies achieve?
Yeah, I'm going to get a little bit more nuanced here. So there's a lot of different categories, especially, you know, in the real estate and mortgage space, right? And so different models would depict different types of CRMs. For instance, if I am if I'm in the mortgage industry and I solely work in servicing, I want to have a robust CRM that holds multiple data points that I can pull up any person, past customer, prospect on those data points that I collect with a few clicks of a button. I necessarily am not relying on any type of sales engagement. I'm relying on the data points and accessing those data points when necessary. Now, let's look at if I am a consumer direct mortgage company, right? Top of funnel, I'm purchasing leads. I want dispositions and routing to happen when those leads come in. I'm going to want a completely different setup and CRM than this servicing side of the business, right? I want to be able to immediately react and contact these individuals in a meaningful way. I want it to route to different loan officers across the country, depending on those data points. I want my loan officers to be able to call them and text them and send them videos and then also disposition them. So again, there's multiple different, and I, like I've heard, we've all heard the saying, right? Like the best CRM is the one that you use. That's completely false. The best CRM is the one built for your business model. And there's a lot of different CRMs. Like if you are And I always say this to like the top 1% salespeople out there. If you are a top 1% or better than the top 1%, you're doing your systems so unique that you're going to need a custom build from like a Salesforce, because you have so many different integral parts of your business. And the only way to accomplish that is for you to literally custom build essentially your CRM from scratch. There's that type of individual and those types of groups and teams out there that just absolutely need a custom built solution. There are teams that need a top of funnel attraction that are going to disposition and route leads to specific assets of their business. There's the ones that just need the data access point. So really what it comes down to is identifying what your business model is and finding the solution around your business model.
How should companies go about developing a successful CRM strategy, considering there's, you know, different CRMs for different departments, or that, you know, there's a multitude of options out there?
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the, you know, traditional retail lender, right? You've got branches all across the country. You've got a marketing department. You've got a back-end department. You've got a servicing department. In this case, like certainly you do not want to have multiple CRMs. You want to have a source of truth for the data, one that pleases the salespeople, the loan officers, one that pleases the marketing department, one that pleases the servicing department. You know, first of all, it's dependent on what your setup is. So we're going to take this as an example. But when I look, when if I was a decision maker in a company, you know, my major points of this is going to be user adoption, right? Because my salespeople, my loan officers are going to be using this the most. I want them to give them a tool that's going to drive in more opportunities and more business. So what is the user, what is the UX like, right? Is it user friendly or is it clunky? I know that sounds silly to make a decision based on that, but if the CRM is clunky, your user adoption is going to be in the single digits easy. And most CRMs in this space are in the single digits because, again, there's so much functionality, there's so much front-end confusion that they don't know how to adopt it and they throw up their hands and say, I'm just going to use a Google spreadsheet. We want to mitigate that as much as possible. So simplicity and UX design is so critical for your salespeople. Now, on the designer side, the marketing department, can they access data, prospects, people, create marketing content specifically for them and deploy them easily that is digestible? Can they deploy it on behalf of the loan officers for those loan officers who just never want to log into a CRM? Can they take advantage of those opportunities? What assets and features do you give to your marketing department? That's number two, right? And then for your back end, for your C-suites and your servicing, is the data accessible? Can I access data points that are being collected and updated in real time as it's integrated with other technologies, whether it's your LOS, your POS, your data lake? Do you have strong integrations? And I think that is, you know, those are some of the core questions I always want companies to ask when they're interviewing any CRM is, what is your integration list? What is the simplicity like? What's your adoption rate for the salespeople, and how easy it is for my marketing team to get in there and create content and deploy that for my loan officers and for the prospects and past clients?
One more consideration might be internal support versus external support. How should management decide when choosing a CRM if they want to rely on the CRM provider for support or if they want internal support?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it's always a combination of both. Because again, internally, sure, you can have an absolute whiz who understands the platform in and out, but guess what happens? That person leaves. Now what do you do? Right. And so always asking the question, you know, what kind of support does the technology actually give? Writing that into the contract, holding expectations there. We know that in the mortgage industry specifically, there is a massive lack of support from technology providers. I don't know where that came from or why that is, but this is something that every technology needs to level up on, whether it's a CRM, an LOS, a POS, or any ancillary technology products. Support needs to level up and support their lenders as much as possible in this environment. So I think it goes both ways. I think lenders need to be asking, what does that support realistically look like? Can I pick up the phone and call you if there's a fire? Or do I get to put in a support ticket and it's going to take me 2 weeks to hear back from somebody? That's going to be a red ticket for me, right? Or it should be. Because if you can't get the answers that you need immediately and have solutions for the problems that are existing, then that's a problem. So I look at it both ways. Yes, internal support, great. Have that. Have somebody or people who understand the system that are going to be a go-to. But if you don't have that, which a lot of clients today don't have that support, What does the support look like from the technology side, and how can I rely on that for the livelihood of our company and the technology?
And one more qualitative question in that same vein: how should companies weigh something out of the box versus trying to customize it specifically to their needs? The pros and cons of each there.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I feel like every company does want to customize, because every business operates differently, right? And so saying that there's an out-of-box solution for CRMs doesn't exist. Unless you want to roll out a tool that is doing 1% of the 100% functionality. You know, I think that there's a dance here with technology providers and clients on the client side that they need to be working together. And asking these questions up front: what is your end goal? What are you trying to accomplish? Does your technology team have some type of professional services internally that we could lean on? And or scenario where they can help us customize and build what we're trying to accomplish. But having that as an option is so critical, because every business is different. They all do things differently. But it's also, and I want to say this too, Rob, like on the back end of this, you know, there needs to be, if the client is saying, I'm trying to accomplish this, a lot of technology companies say, no, you can't do that, or we'll build that for you. And that's where a lot of tech companies get tech debt. What tech companies should be saying is that, I understand what you're trying to accomplish, and here's how we accomplish it in our tech stack. Here's how we accomplish it in our CRM. So it's really just knowing your technology so well, your people on the front lines need to understand the problems that your clients are having and how your technology solves for it.
How should companies measure success when it comes to a CRM, or I guess one step further, if they already have a CRM, how do they evaluate that versus other potential CRM options out there?
What kind of opportunities is the CRM driving in? At the end of the day, you're making an investment for an ROI. So if that technology cannot bring a return on investment, we need to be asking ourselves why we're investing thousands of dollars a month on a piece of technology that's not giving us an ROI. That's absolutely critical, right? If the technology is sitting on the shelf because it sounds good and everybody else in the market is saying, let's go get this technology, but you have no adoption, that's a massive black hole of wasted money and time. So adoption rate is critical, right? I mean, you have to have a tool that your team is going to utilize. And if they're not utilizing that, we need to be asking the questions: are we not doing enough, or is the technology provider not doing enough for those adoption rates to get where they should be?
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Bonzo, considering how good of a resource you've been today. And when one goes to the Bonzo website, it says, grow your business, get your time back. Can you explain what you're working on over there and why you believe it's the best solution for much of the mortgage industry?
I appreciate that. Bonzo was built to do exactly that. Grow your business, which is more conversations, more opportunities. Get your time back. So I'm a big believer in that. You know, loan officers should not be working 20 hours a day. We have to have a personal life and a business life, and we have to do the integral items, the touch points that needs to be automated. And that's really what the foundation of Bonzo was built around, was letting the technology do a good portion of the work for you, not all of it, but a good portion of it. And then that includes those meaningful touch points to your prospects, your borrowers, your past customers, your partners in the business, you know, and making that meaningful. And I'm a big believer, like, unfortunately, a lot of CRMs in this space, they rely on pumpkin pie recipes and, you know, how to decorate your house for the holidays as touch points. And that's going straight to spam folders. No one's looking at that. They're not replying to it. I'm a big believer in that people do business with people. And in our space, the loan officers have those relationships. So if they're able to drive more meaningful conversations, drive more meaningful touch points in their business, they're going to win more relationships and win more opportunities.
Very well put. I really enjoyed this. I think this is a great overview of the CRM space. And I wish you and Bonzo the best of luck going forward.
Hey, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
With bond markets closed for the Good Friday holiday, any requested locks and hedge trades were put on in advance of Thursday's close. However, the holiday didn't stop our government from releasing some important data. Personal incomes rose 0.3% in February, while spending rose 0.8%. Incomes were boosted by solid job growth, slightly higher hourly earnings, and a longer work week. The Fed's preferred measure of inflation, the PCE price index, rose 0.3% month over month, which was a deceleration from the 0.4% increase in January, but higher than the figures from the fourth quarter of last year. Year over year, the headline figure fell to 2.5% and the core rate to 2.8%, continuing their general downward trend. Last week's economic data reaffirmed the recent trends of strong consumer demand and slowing but elevated inflation. The latest GDP revision saw growth revised up to an annualized 3.4% rate in the fourth quarter from the previously reported 3.2% pace. The increase was attributed to a large upward revision in private non-residential construction as manufacturing construction continues its recent boom. Additionally, consumer spending on services also contributed to the upward revision in GDP. Consumer spending is a double-edged sword as the encouraging bump to economic growth is also contributing to the reluctant slowdown in services prices. Real services spending, which accounts for inflation, rose a healthy 0.6% in February, the largest monthly jump since the summer of 2021. Until consumers pull back on services spending, businesses have no incentive to ease pricing. Pre-tax corporate profits rose at a higher than expected 4.1% in the updated GDP report, which translates into a $105 billion increase. Meanwhile, home prices continue to rise despite increasing supply and still high mortgage rates. The January S&P Case-Shiller National Home Price Index was 1% above its prior peak set in June 2022. On the bright side, higher home price appreciation can lead to greater use of cash-out refinances and higher turnover as people sell to move to lower-cost areas. According to a LendingTree analysis of the latest housing data, even though home values in some areas have more than doubled since 2012, more people have become homeowners. The share of owner-occupied homes in the nation's 50 largest metropolitan areas increased by 108 basis points from 2012 to 2022, an increase of 6.155 million owner-occupied housing units. As of 2022, almost 43.5 million of the 70.4 million occupied housing units in the nation's 50 largest metros were owner-occupied. The overall homeownership rate across these metros is 61.72%. Homeownership rates are highest in the Detroit, Minneapolis, and Pittsburgh metros, and the homeownership rates in these metros are 71.5%, 70.5%, and 70.4% respectively. Homeownership rates are lowest in the Los Angeles, New York, and San Diego metros. At 47.9%, Los Angeles is the only metro among the 50 largest where the homeownership rate is lower than 50%. This week's economic calendar gets off to a quiet start, with the only data points scheduled today being February construction spending and the March ISM Manufacturing Index, both due out later this morning. Highlights from the rest of this week include February factory orders, March ADP employment, and March non-farm payrolls. We begin the week with agency MBS prices slightly worse than Friday's close and the 10-year yielding 4.22 after closing last Thursday at 4.20%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. Did you know that all chicken coops come standard with two doors? It's true. If they came with four doors, they'd be called chicken sedans. Thanks again to today's podcast sponsor, Loan Vision. With Loan Vision, the mortgage banking industry's premier mortgage accounting solution, you can take your accounting department from cost center to revenue generator, operating more efficiently and profitably. Visit loanvision.com to learn more.
If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.